For those who know Marcy in our gathering, her mother, am I on here, Peter? Yeah, should be. For those, no, keep trying. No, it's unmute. Just for those who know Marcy in our gathering, her mother died, Glenys. Are you aware of that? So the funeral, I wonder if you could come up, Lois, do you mind, just to pray? The funeral is this week, and so I just wondered if, is Marcy here this morning? Is, oh, there she is. Bless you, Marcy. Yeah, and may you be cocooned in grace. Yeah, and so we're just going to get Lois to pray. Okay, thanks, Lois. Yeah.
Father, I thank you for Marcy. Lord, she's such a vital member of this congregation. And Lord, we know that you are with her this time. Lord, it's just amazed me to see Marcy, how strong she is, how positive she is. And Lord, it's all because of you, because she knows that you are her Saviour and you are here to comfort and strengthen and help her. And Lord, we thank you for Glenys. And Lord, we thank you that her struggle is over at last. And we just pray for tomorrow at the service that, all will go well, Lord, that it'll be a wonderful celebration, a time when we can give thanks and honour for Glenys' life. So, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with the family. Be with Maureen too, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So what time is that service?
It's like? 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tomorrow here,
yeah,
and it will be a memorial service.
Yeah,
a wee bit different.
Thanks, friend. Yeah. Okay, so friends, if you have your Bibles, you might like to come to the Book of Acts. And we have an interesting topic this morning. So we're picking up Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Okay, let me find it, and then we'll get underway. Acts chapter 3. So that rethink on church camp was, you've got to do a try again. It's Wednesday night, October 3, for those who'd like to brainstorm church camp. We had a great camp last year, do you remember that? Oh, that was awesome. So we're wanting to keep the brainstorming going on these things. So, Acts chapter 3, let's pick this story up. This is very relevant to a number of us here, if not all. Acts 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m. Interesting time, but there you have it. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. They had these huge gates, and they were well ornamented, these gates. There were several of them, and this one was called... It was called the Beautiful because it was a well-ornamented gate. So that's what's going on there. Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. I mean, understandably, it would have been in a time where there wasn't a social welfare safety net, in a sense. So this crippled person desperately needed money to survive. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I mean, as you would. I mean, this guy would be just having a party. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So there you are, friends. I'll leave it there. The topic this morning is healing. Okay? I need a bit of divine assistance. Can we pray? Jesus, again we come to you without ceasing, as we have many times already in this service, and we'll keep coming to you because we need your enabling assistance. We need you to enable me to speak in such a manner that encourages and strengthens. And I pray for those that participate actively by listening, that you would enable them too to hear what the Spirit of the Lord might be saying to them and us as a church. So Lord, we gather around you in your wonderful name. And we all said, Amen. So friends, if you can stick with me for about 20 minutes or so, thank you for coming this morning. The topic is healing. And we have the situation here of this person who was not totally, completely paralyzed, by the way. We're not being told that. We're told that the person was crippled. In other words, there was probably something wrong with his feet, his ankles, or his legs or hips, such that he couldn't move. But we haven't got a paralytic here. But we are told that this person had this condition from birth. So it's pretty severe. And then what happens next is that Peter and John come along, as we read, and then Jesus heals, not Peter. We got that, didn't we? I mean, Jesus heals the guy through and alongside and with the human agency of Peter. But it was Jesus that healed the man. And what we then saw was that he was strengthened. Now look, you got to hear this. I mean, this guy had been a lame cripple from birth. And yet we're told that suddenly he stood up and walked. Now that's remarkable. Because if you've been sick for a very long time with the sickness that he had, muscular atrophy would have weakened his legs, and it would have taken months for him to walk again. Are you with me? But this guy here, it occurred instantly. He walked. So some form of healing and miracle had taken place. Now, Peter was a disciple, yes? He was a Christ follower. Can I have a bit of... Yes? Yeah. And thank you. On cue. And some of us here are Christ followers. Not all of us. Because I think it's great that we have people who come from all manner of places to a gathering like this. And I'm not going to assume that we're all Christ followers. And that's not a criticism. That's just, it's neat to have doubters and atheists and Hindus and Buddhists and all sorts of people in our gathering. No, I mean that. It's wonderful. But some of us are Christ followers. So Peter was, some of us are. Peter went to a church, did he not? Yes. And you find yourselves in a church, are you not? Yes. So there's a number of commonalities. So therefore, should we be a church that heals? Should we be disciples that heal? That's the question. Now, it is contentious. Did you hear about the church in Napier? Was it this year? I think it was Equippers. Equippers is a great church. This is in no way a criticism of them. But they had a billboard, as most churches do. Do we have a billboard, by the way? We don't, do we? We have a sign, but not a billboard. Yeah, that's right. So they had a billboard, and one day they decided as a church to put on their billboard Jesus heals cancer. Now, if we had a billboard, would you like us to put that there? Tell the person next to you. Okay, guys. So the reason why they actually put that up there, I don't know if you're aware of this, was that they are a church that number about 150, similar to ours, and six of their number, they would claim, were demonstrably healed from cancer. However, there was a young woman, not a Christian, and she had a three-year-old little child in Napier, and when she saw that billboard, she took great offense. And so she complained to the Advertising Standards Tribunal. In fact, she was not the only one. 13 others did. Are you aware of this? And it got to the point where the church were asked to change what was on the billboard. So what they changed it to was, Jesus heals all diseases and sicknesses. That's what they changed it to. So this is contentious ground. Did you know in Pukekohe, I found this out this last week, that there on Friday afternoons between 11 and 1 o'clock, is that right, Marilyn? Yeah, between 11 and 1 o'clock every Friday, is that right? Every Friday, a particular church or a number of churches? A number of churches have made available a space in Pukekohe for anybody but anybody to come along and be prayed for between 11 and 1 for healing. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that? So, this is our topic. So should we get about the business of working with Jesus to see people physically healed? That's the question this morning. Aren't you glad you came? That's our topic. So, I mean, I think it goes without saying, most of us in this room would know that Jesus often healed. Did he not? I mean, of the 3,774 verses in the four Gospels, 484 of those verses specifically relate to healing. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, come with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Okay, Luke 9, verse 1. Here we go. So Luke 9, verse 1, let me read this. And it says here, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, who got that kind of commission? Who was it? The 12. So, it starts, Jesus healed, then it got wider, and the 12 were commissioned to go out and heal the sick. Yes? Now come with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Luke 10 and verse 1. And it says this, and after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then if you come down to verse 8, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat whatever is set before you, then heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So, one, Jesus healed, then the 12, then the 72. So it's getting wider and wider. Are you scared? What's coming next? Come with me to Matthew chapter 28. Okay, Matthew 28. Is it 28? Verse 16. And it says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them. You've got to hear this. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, including those in New Zealand, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." What did Jesus command them? To heal the sick. So this is us. It says here, in teaching them, the new converts in New Zealand, in Auckland, South Auckland, Manurewa, Lupton Road, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And what did he commanded them? To heal the sick, to raise the dead, even. How do you feel, guys? So the circle got wider. And I think some of us here are aware that there are healings. Today, I came across this story. Listen to this. I read. This particular night when I asked the group what they felt God was doing, a girl in her late teens or early 20s, who was relatively new to our service, stood up and said, I had a picture while worship was taking place. I saw a man's left hand, and in his left hand, the first two knuckles were all crushed and pushed to the side. My first thought was, great, that's an easy one. There are usually at least two or three people with crushed knuckles who come to our services at any given time. Actually, what I really thought was, oh no, I'm afraid that she may have overextended herself. So I asked, is there anyone who has this problem with their left hand? Almost immediately, a young man sitting at the very back of the room put his hand up. He had arrived halfway through the worship, brought by a worker from the Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center where he was staying. He had recently been released from prison and was not particularly enjoying his first worship service. To be more accurate, he had spent the last half an hour mocking the expressions of worship that he saw around him. He had no idea what was really going on or what was going to happen. He did know, though, that the first two knuckles of his left hand were crushed, and the injury prevented him from opening and closing his hand. Where do we pick it up? So we began to pray for him. He came up the front with his crushed left hand, those two knuckles, and we began to pray for him. And his body temperature started to rise until his whole body was perspiring. This confused him because no one else seemed to be affected by the obvious overheating in the room. Next, he began to feel a tingling in his body, a slight current that grew more and more intense until he began to fear that he was being electrocuted. This was recently. This current moved through his body and down into his arms. Finally, it shot down into his hand, the one with the injured knuckles. What happened at that point astonished him. He heard a distinct cracking sound, and then to his amazement, his knuckles reformed perfectly so that he could move his hand freely. As he stood there, incredulously opening and closing his hand, he responded rather reasonably. He opened his mouth and began to swear. His whole worldview had just been blown away. So this is what can happen. Now, someone last Sunday morning came up and said that they felt there was someone who had something wrong with a part of their body. So maybe this is beginning to occur here. I don't know. When it comes to healing people, I have to give you a little bit of theology. Can I give a cut-down version? Can you promise, even pretend to be with me, even though you might drift? Is that all right? Okay. Did you pick up on a phrase in those biblical passages that talked about the kingdom of God? Did you hear that? Those passages that we read. It was the one thing that Jesus often talked about, the kingdom of God. It goes like this, people. Cut down version. The Bible says that there are essentially two ages. There is the age to come and the present age. Have you got me thus far? You still with me? Then it says in Scripture that Jesus, from the future age, the age of perfection, came into this present age and brought with him perfection. And so what we have now is the kingdom of God, the intervention of God, the rule of God is near and here, but it is not yet and distant. Did you get that? So Jesus, the perfected future, invades the present. That's what happened. And brought the kingdom of God, the intervention, the breakthrough of God into the present. So the kingdom of God is near and here, but not completely. So it's not yet, it's distant. And because of that, some people are healed near and here, but some are not healed, not yet and distant. What God does sometimes, he doesn't do all the time. Yes? Okay. So that's the theology lesson. Okay? I still reckon, though, that there'll be some in the room, and I do not blame you for this, who would say, well, Mick, I don't care about your theology. There's no way that I'm ever going to pray for the sick because I ain't got the faith. How many could relate to that? Man, I'm the only one? You know, we have to touch this topic of faith. I think there are some gross misunderstandings in and around faith. Do you know, I got a phone call this last week. Now, I've got to camouflage this. I mean, I get phone calls from throughout the country quite a bit. We are just a village, really, in New Zealand, aren't we? And we all know each other, in a sense. So we get all these phone calls, okay? So I got a phone call this last week. It goes like this, from another part of the country. A distraught person on the other end of the phone. This person said, we have a little one in our family, a little toddler, and she is dying. And a church, a well-meaning church, but a church has said to the parents of this little one that unless you have faith, your little one will die. How do you feel about that? So on the one hand, the parents are distraught. The little one is dying, and yet they are in effect being told that unless they have faith, the child will die, and by implication, whose fault is it? Parents. That is absolutely weird. Is that right? That makes me angry, actually. I heard of another situation where there was a person who had tumors in the brain, a person not of this fellowship. This is elsewhere. Person had tumors in the brain, and so 25 people gathered to pray for this person who was suffering. And all was going well in the prayer time, praying for healing for this person, when suddenly one of their number said, "Oh, do you remember that verse in Luke chapter 9 when Jesus said, 'According to your faith, be it unto you'?" That's Luke 9:29 if you want to look it up later. So a person dropped that into the meeting. What did that do to the group? Well, it brought so much pressure. Because that group then felt that there was a gun to their head. That unless they had faith, this person would die. Now, in my humble opinion, they have a warped view of God and a warped view of faith. Because you see, that kind of God, you know, is kind of like an Al Capone. Anybody relate to Al Capone? Do you know Al Capone? You know the gangster? You know, the gangster who, you know, kind of has a gun in his hand and basically says to someone, you know, unless you do, you're going to be blown away. Are you with me? Our God is not like that. You know, unless you have faith, I'm going to blow this child away. That's not our God. So it begs the question, what is faith? Come with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark 2, 1 to 5. And it says this: "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" It says here, Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? You see, what did he see? I mean, did he see someone who was shaking? No. Now, there's a place for that. I'm not wanting to ridicule anything here. But he didn't see that. Did he see someone's eyes, you know, aglow with the glare of faith? No, he didn't see that. Did he see absolute certainty sketched all over the faces of the four guys? No, he didn't see that. I mean, what did he see? It says here, Jesus saw their faith. What the heck did Jesus see? Tell the person next to you. Okay, guys, the question is, what did Jesus see? Well, what he saw was this. You've got to hear this. This is so encouraging. What Jesus saw was action. He saw four mates bring someone to him. That's faith. He saw four guys think, four guys leaning into Jesus. That's faith. He saw four guys entrust their mate to Jesus. Faith is action. Four guys who brought a mate to Jesus. That is faith. Don't you love it? Do you like it? It's not a rock up, hype up, must be absolutely super spiritual certain. That's not faith. I mean, maybe arguably it can be sometimes, but Jesus saw four mates bring a mate to Jesus. He saw faith. I like that. Now, if someone brought someone to you, do you know what some of us would be tempted to think? Understandably, I ain't got the gift of healing. It's great that you've brought me this person, but I haven't got the gift. Have you ever thought that? Of course we haven't. I have. I think there are some people who get the gift. Is that right? The gift of healing. Other people get the gift of teaching. Other people get the gift of giving. Come with me, though, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14. What does it say here? I'm nearly done. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. It says this. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire, what? Spiritual gifts. In other words, what this passage is saying is that you can be put into a situation where you need a new gift for that situation. In other words, it's the same with teaching. You can be suddenly in a conversation with someone out there and you know you're starting to sink. You can trust God to give you an anointing for that situation. It's called a situational anointing. So similarly, someone brings a sick person to you and you might say, I ain't got the gift. But actually, you can desire the spiritual gifts, each and every one of them. And that in this situation, it might flow through you. Are you with me? Okay. So where are we going from here? Let me finish with a story. I met a man. I love this guy. He's an American. And he was a rocker. And then as a married person, he was walking along the beach one day, true story. Walking along the beach, and he looked up into the heavens, and I don't know, he had one of those moments when he thought, there must be a God. So he started to talk to this God that he didn't really know, but he just wanted to talk to the someone. While he was doing this walk along the beach, unbeknowing to him, his wife, thousands of miles away, because he was speaking at a something, but he wasn't a Christian at the time, his wife was also having a spiritual encounter and episode in her life at exactly the same time, but neither of them knew what was happening to the other. And then she got on the phone later that night, and she said, you know, there could be something more to this Christianity thing. And he said similarly. To cut a long story short, they both became Christ followers, and they experienced God's power to forgive. And they experience God's power to change them as human beings. You know, they were grappling with that sin sickness. And they saw Jesus as a doctor who could heal the virus called sin. And they began to change qualitatively, absolutely change. And then the years went by, and then he began to, as he was reading the Gospels, he began to see that Dr. Jesus could also heal sicknesses today. You know who I'm talking about. So what this guy did was that he went on a journey of healing the sick. So he prayed for someone, no healing. Got to number 12, no healing. Got to number 37, still no healing. Prayed for 37 people, no healing. Got to 234, still no one got healed. Got to 569, still no one had been healed of everybody that he had prayed for. Got to 832, got to 1,000, and no one, not one of the 1,000 people that he had intentionally prayed for got healed. Can you imagine that? How would you feel at number 52? Let alone number 560. let alone number 937. And then let me read you what happened next. The next morning, this is well over after 1,000 plus. The next morning I was awakened by the phone ringing, and one of our newest members in our church was on the line. He said, "I just got a brand new job and I've got to go to work today. My wife is sick with fever. I can't stay at home and look after the kids, and we can't find a babysitter. Can you come and pray for her?" "I'll be right there," he said. I hung up the phone and stared at the ceiling. "God," I said, "look what you've got me into this time. This guy really believes this stuff. He's going to lose his job, or I'm going to have to take care of the kids today." When I arrived at the house, the husband led me into their bedroom. His wife looked terrible. Her face was red and swollen with fever. "Oh no," I groaned inwardly. "This looks like a hard one." I walked over and laid hands on her, mumbled a faithless prayer. Then I turned round and began explaining to her husband why some people do not get healed. A talk I had perfected during the previous 1,000 plus. I was well into my explanation when his eye caught something behind me. Then he started grinning. I turned round to see his wife out of bed looking like a new person. "What's happened to you?" I asked. "I'm well," she said. "You healed me. Would you like to stay for some coffee or breakfast?" I could not believe it. She was well. I politely declined her offer of hospitality and left. Halfway back to my car, I fully realized what had happened. All the months of questioning and despair, excitement and disappointment, revelation and humiliation, the full force of these emotions and hopes washed over me. Then I became euphoric and giddy, and I yelled at the top of my lungs, "We got one!" You know, to finish, people, he was often asked, you know who I'm talking about? John Wimber. I met the guy, just a lovely, gracious, it's all about love, actually. It's not about just healing. It's about love, mercy, and compassion. And if I can find my notes here, he was once asked, you know, how do you know when you're ready to pray for someone? To finish this morning, be encouraged. This is what he said. First of all, you're ready. When you start to get a rubbery feeling in your legs, often followed by intense perspiration, mostly from nervous anxiety. Next, you can expect your tongue to feel very thick. This makes it difficult to say even your own name, which is fine. Because your mind will have begun feeling so clouded that you will have difficulty even remembering your own name. And when you start feeling these things, you can be really confident because the anointing is on you. It's a joke, by the way. It's all a joke. You're ready to pray for the sick. In other words, every time he prayed for the sick, he felt so inadequate. He just got all kind of attack of the nerves, kind of freaked out a little bit. Do you know what I mean? But he came to realize that actually it wasn't him that healed anyway, it was Jesus. And what does faith look like? Just bringing a mate, someone you love, to Jesus. That's all it is. So, I'm a new pastor here. I have an L plate. L. I have an L plate in my life. In fact, I have a number. I've got a whole box full. L plates. Do you know one of my L plates is praying for the sick? I'm a learner. So when I pray for you, please know I'm a learner. I've got an L plate. I'd like to think we could all have L plates. Turn up to the practice courts. Practice this stuff time and time again, even if it means we get to 1,000 plus and no one's been healed. That's turning up to the practice courts. Is that right? So is there anyone here that's sick this morning? I know there's John, and John is nodding. I know there's Barbara here. She's been in the hospital a number of times. I know there's Owen down there with a heavily bandaged arm. Is anyone sick over here? Anyone sick? We've got someone here. Wilson put his hand up there. Anyone else who's sick? Over here? Sick? In any way, small or big? Steph? Yeah? Anyone over here? We've got Mark. Well, there's two or three, Rach at the back there. Yes, we've got someone here. To close our service, I would like you to gather around the sick people and to pray for them. David, you were going to share a story. We've still got 2 minutes. Come up quickly. Yeah, come.
Well, good morning, church. For those of you, that haven't met me, my name is David, and Mick just wanted me to share a little story that I shared with him a few weeks ago now. And it was when I was a baby, actually. I was born with problems with my kidneys, basically, and I was pretty sick in an incubator, and was near death, actually, and I got septicemia, and my parents were obviously, worried, they didn't know what to do. They're actually recent Christians as well, so they came to God in October the year before, and this was in March, so they're very new to it all. But I remember one day Dad turned up at the hospital, and the first time he actually held me, he heard "How Great Thou Art" on the on a secular station, and for him that was just one of the, it was quite encouraging for him. And then eventually, after quite a number of weeks, I was came out of the incubator, and they took me home. And on the way home, they kind of thought to them, they spoke to each other and said, "Well, who can we get to pray?" Because I wasn't 100% still then. And they thought about it, because they thought at the time they needed to get someone, maybe a pastor or someone kind of special to pray. And they kind of just said, "Well, what's stopping us praying?" So they prayed, and it was just, I think, just a simple prayer, and Dad really felt that God had said, I'm gonna heal, and that was cool. They just went by their, through their lives, and I just got stronger and stronger, and it wasn't until I think about when I was 15 or 16, then I had another kidney infection. It wasn't life threatening, but I was still in hospital for a few days, and actually that was the week I was due to be baptized. So, and I was really, really hanging out to get baptized, and I was like, I want to get out of hospital. And I got out of hospital the day before. They went through a whole lot of different tests, and it was kind of just confirmation that it was a bit of a miracle from birth as well at that stage, because the doctor said, "Well, this is really weird. There was absolutely no scarring." And they said that there should be a lot of scarring from the episodes when I was young. So I got out of there the day before baptism. And then just another thing which God put in there was when I was getting in the car with my parents to go to my baptism, a dove, just a white dove came and landed on our garage roof, and it kind of just reassured me that, he was watching me, and he was with me. So that was really cool, and it's just something I can never forget. And had a great baptism, and I've been healthy ever since. So and I believe that was a miracle. That was God working in me. So yeah, just wanted to share that.
Great, thanks, David. Good on you, mate. Yeah. So people, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I fully expect someone to get well. Because the kingdom is near. But here's the thing, I also hang loose with it, and if they're not, I'm just reminded that it's not completely here. Do you get it? So I hold two things together, full of expectation, but hanging loose. And if the person isn't healed, that's all right. I mean, I don't go on big guilt trips, because the kingdom hasn't fully come. So I pray with fully expecting healing, but I also hang loose. Do you get that? So for those who put their hands up, could you gather around those people to end our service, and everyone jump in and pray? Yes? Because all you're doing is bringing a mate. And if you don't want to be a part of this, there's a cup of tea and cup of coffee out there. Okay? So it's quite cool. God bless you. Go to it. Yeah. For those who want prayer, put your hand up so people know. Yeah. So there's someone, two people over here. Yes. Hey, Rubes, don't get...